Hello, this is Netzpolitik TV at the Republika, and my name is Andrea Götzke, and I'm here with Bicycle Mark. And can you briefly introduce yourself and the project that you are presenting here at Republika?
All right. Indeed, my name is, I'm known as Bicycle Mark on the internet. My real name is Mark Fonseca Rendero. It's not a secret, it's just a very long name. I have a site called citizenreporter.org. Originally it was a weblog and back in 2001. And since that time in 2004, I started podcasting a little bit before most people, I think, because when I used to look around for podcasts, I was not in that, well, there wasn't much company. And I also do a video blog, and it's all about underreported news, global concerns, issues that don't make the mainstream, issues that are about quality of life in different parts of the world. And basically, I do it by finding people in my own way. I've had a very kind of crazy life. I'm Portuguese American, and I live in the Netherlands, so I have friends everywhere, is the point. Mm-hmm. So if I can, I always use my old friends as my sources, and because they're everywhere. But if I don't have someone, say in Bangladesh, I go looking for them, usually through the internet or through friends, and I find people who are working on topics that I'm interested in, or people find me more often, since I've been doing this now for, well, many years. So people tend to find me, and I'll usually present in a sort of interview style on my podcast twice a week, and I've become kind of known for that. Therefore, I get invited, especially by the good people here in Berlin, and to speak on what I'm working on or what I'm doing. At Republika this year, I'm doing a talk about the audience, so it's a little bit different. Instead of talking about a topic that I'm researching, I'm talking about what's happening with audiences and citizen journalism, what we call citizen journalism, because whereas a lot of people at these conferences we're on the internet, right? So I can say, we'll bullshit you and say that everything is great and that it's the great new frontier where citizens are plugged in and they're more aware of everything going on. Statistics, surveys, everywhere you look, there's a lot of evidence that in fact it's not true. That there is a lot of things that aren't happening that we were promised with the internet and with citizen journalism. And as a citizen journalist, I'm not saying it to destroy everything or to try and throw a wrench in what we're trying to do, but I want to point out where we're getting ahead of ourselves, where there's still a lot of work to be done, and where citizen journalism is simply not meeting the needs, not doing what it could do. So I'm going to be talking about the audience that wasn't there, which is a clever title, I hope.
And what do you think, what is it that citizen journalism should do? Like, what is it, what would be the ideal thing that's not happening?
Well, there's a couple of different areas. One, citizen journalism should be something that a lot of people would like to do and can do. In the end, everybody can be a reporter at some point. You know, a lot of people like to argue, especially here in Germany, who is a journalist and who is not qualified to be a journalist. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you want to use the word reporter, if it makes you feel better, like I do, everybody at some time in their life, depending on what we're talking about, could be a reporter or a journalist. It doesn't mean they always are. It just means in some situations you could be. Journalism is a strange sort of profession because you don't have to go to school to be a good journalist or to get a certification as a journalist. You could find other ways to become one. It's one of the few jobs that you don't really need anything except maybe a clever brain, and that's always useful. So we could use more people willing to do citizen journalism, and part of having more people willing to do citizen journalism would mean having some kind of a system where people could survive. I don't know if it has to be full-time, but I'm very interested in the sort of, you just had a discussion with Brian from Alive in Baghdad, and I know that funding is a major concern for them. Now, here's a fantastically important project where human lives are hanging in the balance. I mean, if there's no reporting done about what's going on, then nothing will change. And so they have to suffer from the questions of funding, because in this world that we live in this media world, value is given to things that have no effect on human life sometimes, that have no real effect. So they look at issues like Iraq, and they think, well, our audience doesn't feel comfortable, so we're not going to fund this. And this is a big problem in citizen journalism. I mean, I don't have a lot of support when it comes to money because I talk about topics that'll make you not happy. And a lot of the internet chooses not to talk about these topics, and they get support. You know, so if you want to have a website that's all about celebrities or videos of cats falling off of furniture, you'll probably find a sponsor because you don't offend anybody. Yeah? But if I dare talk about Coca-Cola, or if I talk about a government or any corporations at all, then I'm now scaring away these sponsors, right? Because we need sponsors on the internet, apparently. So I'm interested in other models of how we might fuel citizen journalism. That doesn't mean everybody has to get money somehow, but it would be a great help. And then the other thing is to be found. I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, how does a citizen journalist get found on the internet, and what are the sort of obstacles to being found, because there are many, including the large organizations that are doing podcasting, that are doing video blogging. If we go to iTunes right now, you'll have a whole lot of podcasts to choose from. But if you started to pick out which ones are independent people, just regular people, I'm a regular person, I think, you almost can't find me because the list is enormous and they've buried me. And the featured ones are if we're in Germany, it's like a Deutsche Welle podcast, or it's a Tagesschau or whatever you have. I watch all those channels in the Netherlands. And so we bury the independents again. And the only time where it felt like there was hope was before iTunes adopted podcasts, actually, because there was a time, 2004, 2005, where we were all just, it was like a brave new world, and we would just find each other maybe, and people were just exploring. There was no central place. And if there was, it was more informal get-together sites where you would find the podcast. And I almost think there was more hope then. Now we're buried under the sort of big names. Not everybody. Some people have managed to rise above. You know, again, a reference to Alive in Baghdad has found a pretty good audience compared to most programs. And that is, one, because they've done a very good job. Also, perhaps because it's a topic that Iraq can still get a lot of attention if you get a good day where people want to pay attention. Yeah, there's still hope. Yeah, I mean, citizen journalism still has a long way to go when it comes to producing, when it comes to who is doing it, more choices, and ways that independent people can really continue, can sustain, it has to be sustainable.
And do you have ideas, like what one could do to improve the situation for citizen journalists?
Well, one side is education. You know, the biggest shame my mother would say about me being such a full-time sort of podcaster is that I'm not teaching. And I could teach journalism, I could teach media. We, in the United States where I grew up, and in Portugal where I also spent a lot of my childhood, media education doesn't really exist. People think that you just go out in the world and you'll just understand how television works and you'll understand what television does to you. We need a media education to help understand where is our news coming from. So if we're watching television news, to understand what's going on behind the scenes, yeah, that somebody writes this, who writes this, who owns this station, would a company that sponsors be able to tell them not to report on something? We have to ask these questions so that we can get better information. But we don't ask these questions. Germany might be slightly better off in some cases. One thing I would look for is some kind of a cultural fund. Now, I don't know if that should come from the government, but I'm curious because advertising is not going to do it. We cannot rely on advertisers to sponsor good news. I mean, good news programs. Advertisers will always sponsor good news. But I'm still curious if there's a third way. And that's kind of why I try not to go to too many conferences, because we spend way too much time at conferences and not enough time doing real journalism, helping people who need help. But I'm curious if someone at one of these gatherings has a better plan. Because I don't really have it. I have the pieces, but that fundamental question of where would money come from, I don't have a solid answer. I can tell you how it should work, though, and I can tell you how journalism could be done. So I would say education and funding that doesn't come from advertising is what I'm interested in, and we don't have enough of either.